Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be up here. It's a privilege. Let's just open in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for how we have learned about it. We thank you for those that have gone before us and showed us and encouraged us and showed us the way of salvation. Lord, and you think of how from the apostles and generation after generation, and it was needed to have faithful men and women and faithful actions to witness and to bring others into your kingdom. We thank you again as you brought us into the kingdom. You've blessed us with many blessings, and from parents to wives to children, other relations in our family relations, but also for people. And we thank you for the people we could interact with and be. We say it's a light for you, a witness. We thank you as we continue to grow, too, that you teach us through the Holy Spirit, and you teach us, helping us to grow, helping us not to build on what you've already given us and said, you can have more. You need, I can give you more. I can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given those blessings, those directions to us as you continue our lives until we see you again. Thank you now for our word as we open up. We thank you for it, knowing that, even as you gave an example of using the word of God, using what was written to fight the devil, to fight the good fight in from your apostles, but mostly to your disciples, to where we have this generation now, our generation of disciples, with your word, with your power from the Holy Spirit. We thank you now as we continue in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times, I was going to make a different announcement at first. I noticed on a bulletin that I have Matthew chapter 1. And known that for weeks. Not knee shaking or anything like that, but I said, you know, I did Luke chapter 1 chapter 2 and was the lineage. And so I thought, why don't when I do the lineage of Matthew number 1, we do a bio sketch of every one of the ancestors. You know, make it really interesting. Then I thought, we want to encourage participation on Wednesdays and not discourage it by saying, we're not going to get through for about 18 weeks. But so we'll nix that idea and go with but many times, and I encourage you to attend our Wednesday Bible study, but many times during our Bible study on Wednesdays, or even in your personal Bible studies, if you you come across in the Gospels a lot of times that we see the verification or authorization from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, always asking Jesus questions or challenging them. And this week, on our last past Wednesday, we got to Luke chapter 20. And we have also, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 20, because Mark, we had studied it also, as when he was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and Pharisees and the elders asked them the question, and that was, what's your authority in doing all this? Because, and they had the rightful reason to ask that question, because they were in charge of the spiritual nature of the land of Israel, but they weren't doing a good job. And we've seen that Jesus challenged them many, many times, but they had to challenge him. And I was asking, what authorization do you have to do this? And it got into, we know, it was a lot of times it was hostile. It got edgy. By the time he got to Jerusalem, we see that they were quite in a frenzy, I would say, or anywhere trying to, of course, gotten to where they want to kill him. They plan to kill him. Now they're feeling almost like, we've got to kill him. And as we study it, but we know from that challenge that once we got to Jerusalem, you think, they've had 3 years of his ministry already. 3 whole years, and they hadn't learned anything. All they learned is that he's competition, which we almost would say. But so what I want to do is I want to go back to Matthew chapter 3. Because we studied, of how he had been asked to, in Luke chapter 20 and Mark 10, and we're going to probably get into, in a few months, Matthew, and that was in Matthew 21. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3, and we're just going to look at chapter 3 and a little bit of chapter 4. And we're going to see some verifications, or witnesses, a series of witnesses that are in Matthew chapter 3. And we know that Matthew is a chapter or a book that is for the Jews and was written to show that Jesus was the king. And we see that from being in Luke. And in Mark, we see the triumphal entry at, and the praise and hallelujahs that were going on that at that point. So, but we want to go back to Matthew chapter 3. And between chapter 2 and chapter 3, 30 years have gone by, a generation. A full generation has passed away between chapter 2 of Matthew, at the end of chapter 2, and the beginning of chapter 3. Judea had ceased to retain that semblance of a monarchy and is now under Roman procurators, all right? And Pilate was, I think, the fifth one for historical person. And as Pilate there, this series of leaders from the Romans was becoming, I would say, a descending scale of wickedness or an increasing scale of wickedness on the part of the Jewish state of Israel. And they were, part of their religious beliefs is that a king was coming. A Messiah was coming. But they didn't know when. That's according to, I guess, some Josephus and that. But doubtless, in any case, the visit of the wise men or the slaughter of the innocents, the children, and the virgin birth had long been forgotten. The glint of the glory had died from the plains of Bethlehem. The angels had long since gone away to heaven. And so far there seemed little promise of that peace on earth of which they had so spoken. But we see in chapter 3 that heaven breaks its silence. Matthew 3, chapters, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, from the imperial glory of the world in that day, from the imperial glory of the world we have today, but and apart from the religious system that was then installed and working, this religious system of men that came out of Jerusalem. So you had the imperial glory of Rome, the Roman Empire, and you had the religious system of men as seen at Jerusalem, which as we study, we can see was weaker and weaker and corrupter and corrupter, and you go on, make your own adjectives and adverbs. But we see here that John was found in the wilderness. Of course, an arid tract of land right around the Dead Sea, to the west of the Dead Sea and up in the desert area. I had a note here for comic relief. And it was west of the Dead Sea and extending northward to the Jordan. And he is on the west side, row 3, seat 3. Okay, that's my comic relief. His food and his raiment marked him as one apart from the common man. Show you 5 different witnesses in this little chapter 3 and a little bit apart in chapter 4 of Matthew. And he is our first witness. We know from the book of Luke, we're given his previous history, birth, growth, and little characteristics and little tidbits. John has given us his testimony to the Messiah. But when we look at Matthew 3 and 4, we see that he is one of the verifiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one of the witnesses of Jesus. He's the first one we want to check. And what authenticates Jesus, or what authenticates, actually, John the Baptist? And that's his message. And saying, rejoice, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message, repentance. You know, preaching centered on changing your way of life, changing your mind, changing one's mind, and act on that change. Repentance and acceptance for the kingdom of heaven. In verses 3 and 4, we see his authority. John fulfilled the prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe verse 3. You know, and when you look at chapter 3 and 4, and it talks about a little bit about his raiment as we talk. But then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan. He had authority. He was in the scriptures as prophecy. In a spiritual sense, John was that Elijah we always talk about. Elijah was here to come. He was going to come. We find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. A little bit of reference that. His coming and what he came for. We look at verses 5 and 6, and we see another witness or verification at John can be tested. And he came around about the Jordan, and in verse 6 it goes, then he went out him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. His baptism. The Jews, if you remember, baptized Gentile converts. But John baptized Jews. His baptism was authenticized or authorized from heaven. If we look at Luke chapter 20, verse 4, or maybe even Matthew 21, 25, I think I have referenced. The baptism, and this again brings us back to our Bible study on Wednesday night and from Mark, and now we're in Luke. It goes, the baptism of John, from where was it? From heaven or of men? And of course, the question with the Pharisees, they reasoned among themselves and end up not answering. They could not answer. But his baptism was authorized from heaven. His baptism fulfilled two purposes. One, it prepared the nation for Christ. And I think number two, it presented Christ to the nation. In John 1:31, let me see if I can pick that up. It's all relative. And I know him not. Okay, verse 30 goes, this is he whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I know him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. So his baptism fulfilled two purposes. Prepare the nation for Christ, because he was baptizing many, many people. And also when he was baptizing, he was presenting Christ to the nation. One more verification or characteristic is his obedience. Verses 13 and 15 in Matthew chapter 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Cometh thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Permit it to be? No, for this is becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented to him. We can go off on another tangent just studying that and studying each of these points. But his obedience. John the Baptist bore witness to Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Lamb of God. As we know from John chapter 1, I think verse 29. Because of his witness, many sinners trusted Christ. Look at John. I want to see if John chapter 10 has something for us here. No, I've got too many bookmarks in the wrong place. John chapter 10, verses 39 to 42. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of his hand and went away again beyond the Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him there. His obedience. Our second witness comes in John in verse 16, our second verification, something that would verify that the authority that Jesus had. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and to the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. We go to Book of John, and we see that John the Baptist had saw this. But the coming of the Holy Spirit, like a dove, identified Jesus. I think that's John chapter 1, verses 31 through 34 I have. Our third witness, we're halfway in the middle to five, if that's as far as I go. TBD. Our third witness is verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Our third witness, or verification of his authority that we question all the way through, not just at the end of Jerusalem, but through his whole entire ministry. We see here the third witness is the Father. We know on three separate occasions the Father spoke from heaven, at this baptism, at the transfiguration, and as Christ was moving toward the cross in John chapter 12. The Father's statement from heaven seems to echo a little bit. Echo, that means, I've heard that, we hear it a lot in our prayer time, the echo, but this echo we can maybe say, the Lord, he said, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." That's Psalm chapter 2. And sometimes the more I look at it and look at it, I don't know if it's more talking about after his resurrection. But just for us, it goes, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." This is verse 6. And then 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations of thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And I look at verse 8 and I think of our next witness after this, is that is one of the things that Satan had challenged him or tempted him with, about having all the whole world. And here we see back in Psalms, David writing, that I shall give thee all the nations. And also Christ, before his pre-incarnation, already knew that he owned all that. But still, Satan, kind of a dim, maybe a dimwit a little bit, but we have the Father giving his verification, or his witness. The fourth one I have is in Matthew chapter 4, because I can't find chapter verse 18 in chapter 3. I don't know if any of you have that. No? Okay, neither do I. Okay. But chapter 4, verse 1, it goes, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit," and we already shucked by the Spirit, "into the wilderness to be tested by the devil." We know he had fasted 40 days. And our fourth witness is Satan himself. Jesus was not tempted so that the Father could learn anything about the Son. He already knew, right? For the Father already had given Jesus his divine approval just verses before. Jesus was tempted so that every creature, all of us, but every creature in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, might know that Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He exposed Satan and his tactics, and he defeated Satan there. And throughout his whole ministry, he's been, you know, we find that the devil puts his tail between his legs and leaves after the temptations. And I can walk like the devil, but I got other problems there. But he wasn't done. And we know from studying the scriptures, the devil wasn't done. He's never done. He was defeated at the cross of Calvary. Another battle, and he was defeated. We know from the warnings, even now, even from John and Peter, that he's still out there waiting. What to do? What is he going to do? He's going to tempt each one of us in a way and test us. And thinking about Satan, I don't want to think too long, but how we more or less would go more to the Lord Jesus. In those temptations, what did he use? He used the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Also, that makes you turn to Ephesians. And it's also important to know that Jesus faced the enemy as a man, not Son of God. He had that raiment, he had that title, but he faced him as a man. If you look at the temptations, his first word was, "Man shall not live by bread alone." We must not think that Jesus used his divine powers to overcome this enemy at this time, because that is just what the enemy wanted him to do. Jesus used the spiritual resources. Remember, he was one of the witnesses was the Spirit that he gave. Jesus wanted to use the spiritual resources that were available, and they're available to us today. The power of the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew 4:1 again. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Temptation involves the will. And Jesus came to do what? To do the Father's will, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, in the opening verses of chapter 10. And now after Jesus Christ defeated Satan, he was ready to begin his ministry. No man had a right to call others to obey who has not obeyed himself. Our Lord proved himself to be the perfect king, the perfect lamb, as we state in other places, who's worthy of our respect and our obedience and our service. Our fifth witness, and it's not the final one, but it's the final one for this message. And we go to the fifth and last witness in this section is Christ's ministry of power. Wow, a long one to describe, but it's in Matthew chapter 4. It starts at verse 12 and continues for the rest of the chapter. But I want to make one note. Before we go on to that fifth witness, we need to remember that between verse 11 and verse 12 comes the ministry described in John chapter 1, 19, to John chapter 3, 36. That ministry fell in between those two verses. Because when we read John, he came down and ministered in Judea and around Jerusalem until John, because the next verse in 12 goes, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, well, he wasn't cast into prison right after the temptation and everything. So we have a ministry of him going on in John chapter 1, and Matthew picks it up at verse 12. And Matthew is not a chronological book. It's more of a topical or a topic type of book. It's not, so he doesn't chronologically, we would say, wow, there it goes, well, that into that, no. Make sure you put, you can put a little note if there, or if you have some notes from Schofield or whatever, that should be there. Because here it says, he makes up, and mine says, Jesus begins his public ministry in Capernaum. And for Matthew's headings in that, that's correct, but he was already the light of the world. And the rest of Matthew chapter 4 talks about that light coming to fulfilling the prophecy in Zebulun and Naphtali. It was very dark, and he came there to minister, to bring the light. So our fifth witness, the fifth and last on our list, my list here, is in this section of is Christ's ministry of power. Matthew has already shown us that every detail of our Lord's life was controlled by the Word of God. Miracles of healing, we look in just chapter, in the rest of this chapter, were a bit of a part. I wouldn't say would be a bit part. That's talking technically, and gosh, I don't want to get into Silicon Valley terms about the Bible. We'll just stay out of that. But the miracles of healing were a bit part of Christ's ministry throughout Galilee. For he also taught and preached the word. The light that Isaiah promised was the light of the word of God, as well as the light of his perfect life and compassionate ministry. Here Matthew has presented us with some authorization or verification of Jesus Christ's credentials of authority. Five witnesses. John the Baptist, God speaking, the Holy Spirit, Satan, and his ministry. And I, like Luke, just put those out of order of what I just talked to you about, because Luke also, when he described the temptation, he has them out of order of the three temptations. Just a glitch of mine here in writing, that's all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again to know that our Lord always was challenging, what is his authority? And we see that his authority, his witness, his preparation was beginning of his ministry. Very important. All set, all ready to go, and all fulfilled in his ministry and his direction and the will of Father for him to go to the cross. Excuse me. John the Baptist spoke of the repentance, and Jesus followed up with the kingdom of God, repent. And we fulfilled and see the fulfillment of that journey in 3 years, the fulfillment at the cross, at his death and resurrection. For we have the power of that Spirit as we accepted Christ. When you need and not reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but accept him, God begins a work in you that he doesn't stop. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us and that you are constantly working us, and you're patient with us and you're long-suffering, as we can see as your ministry and with the circumstances and situations that you had, all experienced by you, the ones that we have today. We ask your blessing now on the word and for encouragement with us to know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we can pray. You've opened the door to the prayers that we have and the requests for those of co-workers that come and share with us their ills or their situations. We thank you that you give that kindness of us, our hearts. They see us as your lights, as your witnesses, and someone who cares, as we know we had a Savior who cares to go all the way to the cross. We ask this now in your precious name. Amen. Am I off? Oh, yes.